I'm not going to waste any time. I want to go ahead and bring on pastor and author and filmmaker Joe Schimmel of goodfight.org and pastor at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, who's got a new book that I've already read and sent to my nephew for an early Christmas present. Pastor Joe, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm doing great, bro. Thanks for having me on, Jeremy.
Yeah, I believe this is it's a little past the one-year anniversary when we first met talking about the release of one of your Marvel, DC and Marvel Exposed, their War Against God, which is another great thing that you go back a year ago and look it up on any of your podcasts and you can find that. Marvel and DC's War on God did not disappoint. Tell us just a little bit about this book and what inspired it. It's a children's book, your first book, and it's a children's book.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been writing, some of my family and friends are, you know, teasing me in a way, saying, man, you've written so many books, but I never finished books because in ministry, as you know, you've seen a lot of our films, and pictures worth a thousand words, they say, and get thousands of pictures, you get millions of words. So I like to use film, but a lot of the scripts, you know, when you do a film, is a book in itself, but I never really pushed to get one published. But it's kind of funny because what you were just talking about with we've got a couple of the Marvel and DC videos out. Their exposés about how the enemy is attacking our children with trying to bring a worldview that's very, you know, anti-Christ and so forth. And so we expose a lot of things in our ministry, Good Fight Ministries, you know, trying to warn parents and warn young people. And it's not just young people, of course. There's an onslaught, spiritual onslaught against, you know, the world at large. But we often warn them, but, you know, there's a huge concern, you know, that's old. Out of the Hitler's regime, you know, you get the youth, you have the future, and they target our youth. And we've documented in our videos, and I'm pretty sure you've seen, I know you've seen They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll as well. Mm-hmm. So many of the artists we quote and how they're going after our children, they're brainwashing them, and, you know, Insane Clown Posse, their lead singer's like, there's nothing you can do to stop us, you know. And they're going after our kids. Well, as Christians, you know, we're called to warn our children, to love them and to bring up in the Lord's ways and teach them truth. And what motivated me is, you know, I wanted to, what's a good way, I thought, you know, to really, I you know, I've taught my children, you know, stories, the Bible stories often, and grandchildren, I have several grandchildren now. They're always wanting me to tell them stories, and I like to tell them stories and stuff, but I like to, you know, often, you know, bring in, you know, morals and a biblical worldview. And so what motivated me to write the book was having something that would impact them visually. God tells us stories. I mean, sometimes we, in theology, we use the term typology, you know? Mm-hmm. And typology is where God gives the picture. There's different typologies, but my favorite are those of Christ throughout the Old Testament. Pictures of Christ throughout historical stories, true narratives, things that took place, whereby God, for instance, has Abraham bring Isaac up on a mountain to sacrifice his only son, whom you love, you know? And he brings him up to Mount Moriah, and then he stays his hand and says not to touch the lad and so forth. Well, you start to find out later that's a huge picture that God's drawn for us of redemption, because the first time you see the word love in the Old Testament is right there, take your son, your only son, whom you love. And then New Testament, first time you see the word love is when we read that God says at Jesus' baptism from heaven, this is my son, whom I love, there in Matthew chapter 3. And he takes his son up the mountain, so to speak. And just as Isaac carries the wood, Jesus carries the wood on his back, you know? Mm-hmm. But God doesn't stay his hand. Jesus dies for our sins, and Hebrews 11 tells us that Isaac's resurrection, his picture of resurrection, was a type of Christ's resurrection. It's all a great picture. So the point is that God uses pictures as our Father over and over again, and pictures are so powerful. So I was motivated to, in picture form, how could I present the gospel to young people, my children, of course, my grandchildren, and as many children as possible, in a very powerful way that would also warn them about the false answers that are going around, that are being shoved down the throats of our children. And Jeremy, that was your start to the show, I thought was great, because you're bringing up what Newsom's doing with the pornographic books and so forth in our libraries and so forth. And just all the smut that they're being subjected to. And there's such confusion with, for instance, identity and, you know, gender dysphoria, and all these things that are going on right now. And this book is really about, okay, correcting that false satanic narrative. What's the biblical narrative about identity? So I thought, I sought the Lord, eventually, I used to use an illustration, I still do, and I turned that illustration into a story, because people are lost. You remember Jeremy ever since the 60s, the hippies, I got to find myself,
yeah.
I got to find myself. And when we were lost, we were all lost. We didn't know who we were.
Mm-hmm.
And people are trying to find themselves and understand their identity. But, Satan has just destroyed the whole concept of creation through Darwinism, concept of the future by attacking, Bible prophecy, what God says about the future. So people don't know their identity. They don't know where they've come from. They don't even know their creations of God. They don't know they're going to face God in judgment. So this book begins, it's basically the Bible in a nutshell, in like 46 pages, but with poetic stanzas on each page. It's not a long read. It could probably be read in like 7 to 10 minutes to a kid, maybe 5 minutes even. And we're already, thank God, I'm blown away. It's already, from out of the chute, it's been a bestseller. If somebody goes to Amazon and they push like the paperback, it'll say number one release.
So yeah, that's right.
Blown away by that. But it's exciting because it starts with a mirror. And if you're trying to find yourself, I use the mirror analogy. If a mirror gets broken and it wanders around trying to fix itself, it has no clue what it's supposed to look like because it was created to reflect its creator. Mm-hmm. And that's us. We're created in God's image. And when we try to find out who we're supposed to be, are we supposed to, look like at the last, the latest sleazy pop singer or what have you, or who we're supposed to be like and so forth. We're created in God's image. So it starts off with a mirror that's made by the king. And the king, of course, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a serpent comes into the palace and seduces the mirror to jump. So he basically tells him, the king's hiding from you who you really are. If you jump off, this wall, you'll be this great big star. It all rhymes. And he jumps, and he just is broken in 1,000 pieces. And he poor Sparky, the mirror, is called Sparky the Broken Mirror. He puts himself in sweeps up all his broken shards and puts them in a bag, and he wanders around like a hobo trying to find help. And he goes to everyone from a nurse and a doctor to a therapist to a flies to the Far East to talk to a yogi, has him, meditate on his belly button, and goes to a witch who levitates him, and he falls, and that last shard of glass is broken. That's the only one he has left after he gets into witchcraft. And as the story progresses, he doesn't find the answer, and he's kind of left in a state of hopelessness and despair. And many people have told me already and written in the comments too, in the reviews on Amazon, that they've wept at near the end of the book because he's in this dark forest and he's weeping. He has no answer. And then the joy, a lot of people weep for joy because the king appears to him. He sees a light in the forest. He hears the king's voice, and a little Sparky clings to the king's robe, and the king reveals himself to him and puts him back together again, piece by piece. And the king's hands are bleeding, and Sparky cries again because he realizes the great cost. It cost the king to fix him. And then he brings him back into his palace where Sparky's able to freely roam and enjoy life again. And he actually shines brighter than he did when he was first created, which is all a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's interesting because from a pastoral viewpoint, I wanted to show the fall of man, creation, the fall, man's lost state, and then how the things of this world, can't satisfy, and the things of this world can't ultimately fix us, only our creator can. And then it comes to the climax where you see redemption and salvation and forgiveness and even glorification to heaven. So in a very brief way, but very picturesque way, kids are able to see the gospel, and we've been people in sharing with us the response of their children has been beautiful. And I knew this would have an effect on parents because, Jeremy, I was sharing this story with parents before I ever started sharing it with kids in the form of an analogy without all the pictures and not going as in-depth as I did in the book. And then they were always moved by it. I thought, this is a great way to communicate the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I couldn't think of a better way to communicate a clear picture of the gospel where a kid could follow along, get excited, and all of a sudden realize, one person left a review saying, they were teared up during this story because they realized it was their story,
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's the story of all of us who've come to find Christ,
Yep.
So it's an evangelical book for non-believers too, but it's also a book to encourage believers, teach their children, and get their children to be in love with the gospel, you know, and who Christ is and what God's done for them.
Yeah, it is. No, you know, and it's very visually appealing. I know you had an illustrator, Emily Paneri, a freelance artist from
She's
local.
Amazing.
Yeah, and it is. It's captivating. You know, kids will look at these pictures, and it's like you always just look for an inroad to be able to share the gospel with somebody. And any number of those pages can spark up a conversation just to get kids talking about it. And you have got some great endorsements. You got Ben Price, The Pilgrim's Progress. That's such an amazing book. So it's already coming with high acclaim. And I actually realized I need to go on Amazon and leave a review as well. So what was it like to take a step back from all that? Because your documentaries, and I encourage everyone to go to goodfight.org, because if you want to see what's really going on behind the scenes in Hollywood, the stuff you're watching, the stuff your mind is being fed, goodfight.org exposes it all, and you'll understand the way you're being influenced, that you think you're being entertained, but the point of the entertainment is to lull you to sleep so you don't realize you're being conditioned to believe ways of life that are pulling you away from God's love and God's truth. And goodfight.org does that, and sometimes in a very heavy way. I mean, your Kinsey documentary that exposes all of that, and the over sensationalized sexuality of our youth, and the way that that's just blown up now to the point where I don't even want to get into that, but talking about the way pedophilia is eventually going to be normalized if they have their way, and just perverting the youth. But this is a much, you know, it's much easier to share like children's stories and talk about the gospel in a way like this rather than always diving off the deep end into the heavy stuff. That had to be a little bit of a fun reprieve for you.
Yeah, if people just watch our exposés, they think that's all I do, but after fellowship, I've had, you know, literally thousands of teachings, you know, straight from the Bible. I teach the Word of God. That's my love and my joy, you know. But we do a lot of exposés, which show the dark underbelly of what's going on in the world system. You basically laid it out really clearly. But we don't stay there. We say that's what's going on, but now we point to Christ. Even the Scripture, you know, warns us to.
Hey, Pastor Joe, we only got 20 seconds left. I want to make sure, where's the best place for people to get the book?
Oh man, they could go to SparkyBook.com, or they could just go to Amazon, because the SparkyBook.com will give them more information about the book. But that's how they can find it. You know?
And I encourage everyone to go to goodfight.org and check out Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley if you're around. We'll be right back.